Well, Tyler, here we are once again in my basement studio.
And once again, thank you for inviting me down here.
It's kind of nice because down here in the basement, now that it's starting to hit warmer weather, it'll be nice and cool. Mm-hmm. Where during the winter, it wasn't quite as nice.
That's very true. So, you know, St. Patrick's Day is a great time to mark the change of going from a cold basement to a nice, cool basement.
So are you ready for this episode today?
I think so.
So I assume you've read the title, but today we're going to do Grand Funk Railroad, and I'm Your Captain, Closer to Home. One song that I definitely want to do and one band that I really enjoy.
I have so many mixed feelings about this.
Do you really?
I really do. I didn't realize I had so many mixed feelings about this song. I've heard this song several times, but I didn't realize how controversial it was in my head.
That's interesting. Now.
Yeah.
So let me give you a little history on Grand Funk Railroad. They're an American band, of course. That's kind of a play on words since they have a song called We're an American Band. But they are indeed an American band formed in Flint, Michigan in 1969, back when the water was clear.
Ah.
You really honestly cannot talk about 1970s rock and roll or music in general without talking about Grand Funk.
Mm-hmm.
They are a band that, for some reason, and it's unfortunate, but they've been erased from a lot of the memory of people. You still hear a lot of their songs played. This one's played quite frequently. The Locomotion, We're an American Band. Those are probably the three that get the most radio play. But I would think even most casual listeners don't even know who Grand Funk Railroad is.
I would say that's very accurate.
And it's unfortunate because they were one of the largest bands in the 70s. Selling out stadiums left and right, doing huge tours, and they were just a huge band. They're one of my favorite bands.
Yeah, just another band to sell out.
Yeah, I...
Selling out stadiums?
Oh, okay.
They're just another band to sell out.
Yeah, so, I mean, by far, they're one of my favorite bands. I enjoy all their albums. In fact, I think maybe even enjoy them live a little bit more. They kind of like The Who in a way. I think they're a very, very good live band, and it's unfortunate that they've kind of been lost to time like some bands are, and who knows why that is or what. They're still touring now. They've been touring for over 50 years, although they've had quite a few different lineups. The original lineup of Grand Funk was Mark Farner on guitars, keyboards, harmonica, lead vocals, Mel Shocker on bass, Don Brewer on drums and lead vocals, and they were really kind of the 1970s version of a power trio like Cream. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're a good, heavy rock and roll blues band.
Mark Farner almost sounds like a one-man band. I mean, he's multitasking.
Well, he is, but, you know, the band now that's still together, you've got Mel Shocker and Don Brewer. They're actually still in the band.
Oh, good.
So, still in the band today. Max Carl, who's a veteran from 38 Special, actually is the current lead singer of the band. Oh. So the band named Grand Funk Railroad is actually a play on words, and the band got it from there was a railroad that ran through Flint, Michigan called the Grand Trunk Western Railroad. And so they just kind of mix that up and named the band that. They've actually released 6 platinum albums and 7 gold certified albums between 1969 and 1976. And it's a shame that they've been forgotten for all they did and all the stadiums they sold out. I mean, their arena rock style and their extensive touring is really what they were known for really well through the 70s. Obviously, fans of Grand Funk love them and their music and know how big of a band they are and how good of a band they are, but there was a lack of critical praise in the 70s and continuing to this day from the critics, and it's unfortunate.
Really? Yeah, that is sad because these guys are a really good band. They sound excellent.
They actually equaled the Beatles in selling out Shea Stadium, and they sold out the show in 72 hours.
Well, and that's nothing to balk at all. I mean, that's pretty impressive. Selling out a huge stadium in 72 hours. These guys were big.
Yeah, so their very first album, On Time, sold over 1 million copies and was certified gold and hit number 27 in the U.S. They had very little airplay, funny enough, because of the critics, you know, lack of praise, but it really didn't stop them from filling stadiums. The critics really, their big thing with them, they thought they were musically dumb. Is really kind of what some of the things they said. They were just loud and annoying. But, you know, honestly, they were a real no bullshit band, you know, a working class band.
Yeah.
I think that really caught on with the fans, you know, the working class fans, kind of singing directly to the people and without any guidance from the self-appointed experts.
This song is like, it's long, but if you're a working person, and you know, you want some easy listening music, or you know, easy music to listen to and make the day go by, this is a good song for that.
Yeah, so this song, I'm Your Captain, Closer to Home, it was actually off the album Closer to Home, which was their third album. And this song helped push this album into number six spot in the Billboard 200 without hardly any radio play. So pretty impressive.
Yeah.
E Pluribus Funk was their fifth album. It actually reached number five. Phoenix, an album from them, reached number seven. We're an American Band, which was their seventh album. It reached number two in the U.S., and the single reached number one, the single We're an American Band. Shining On, their eighth album, reached number five, and it actually had the song The Locomotion on it, which reached number one in the U.S. and Canada. And that's a song that was written by Jerry Goffin and Carole King. We've talked about them several times before. Yeah. Their ninth album, All the Girls in the World Beware, reached number 10 in the U.S., and that's the album that had Some Kind of Wonderful on it, which reached number 3, and it had the song Bad Time also that reached number 4. So they had some chart success, which, once again, is pretty impressive considering their lack of critical appraise.
Yeah, these guys, I wouldn't say they're forgotten, just their name's forgotten, because you list off a lot of these hits, and these are big hits that still get a lot of radio play.
For the most part, but what's funny about them is nobody knows who they are. Exactly. I mean, other than dedicated fans, but this is a band, a perfect example of a band that should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
For sure.
If it was worth anything.
Yeah.
So, do you want to get to the song review?
I do.
And now it's time for the song review.
So, of course, today we're doing Grand Funk Railroad and I'm Your Captain, Closer to Home. Now, this song was written and sang by Mark Farner. It was released as a second single off their third studio album, Closer to Home. It was released on July 14th of 1970. Had Aimless Lady was the B-side to this single. What's kind of interesting about this song is on the album, it's over 10 minutes long, the album version, and the single version is 5.5 minutes long. It's actually the band's longest studio recording. The single reached number 22 in the U.S. It was actually the band's first top 40 single and number 22 in Canada. What's kind of strange about that is the longer version, you know, like I was talking earlier, they didn't receive a lot of radio airplay. What's kind of impressive is the longer version of the song actually received a lot of radio play from the progressive rock stations at the time. This was really their biggest hit to date until We're an American Band came out in 1973, which that was their first number one single. And this song really propelled the Closer to Home album to reach the top 10 of the charts. Like I said earlier, it reached number six, so it was a big hit for them. I think the lyrics are pretty straightforward, but there's probably a lot of imagery in them as well. But it's about a captain of a ship, and he's sick, and he's really in fear of losing his vessel. I mean, that's really, if you listen to the words or read the words, that's what it's about. Now, does it have a deeper meaning? That's, I guess, for you to figure out. But Mark Farner claims the lyrics come to him one night after his prayers. I guess he was saying his bedtime prayers. Mm-hmm. And
he just decided that he was a captain that was feeling very sick, and he was hoping that people weren't scheming to take his ship away.
I guess so. Apparently he was kind of half awake, half asleep, and he jotted down the lyrics, and they come up with some of the other parts of the song as they were recording it. But
so he wants to still be in charge of the ship, but he just wants them to take him home.
Like I said, it's pretty straightforward when it comes to the lyrics, but do they have hidden meaning? Because a lot of people think this has something to do with the Vietnam War, which was still going heavy at the time, or possibility of being drafted into the Vietnam War. A lot of people think there's a lot of drug influences in this song. I think it's more straightforward than that. It's one of their heavier played songs to this date. With some of the others, you still hear it. Generally, it's the 5-minute version you hear on the radio. But it's well known for the stretched out version at the end, you know, where he sings, I'm getting closer to my home, over and over and over.
Yeah.
Which I enjoy.
I'm thinking that the captain is really, really sick. And so, like, he's, you know, maybe even got dementia where he forgot that he said that he's getting closer to his home. So he says it again.
You got to think of a lot of the rock of the time, too. There was a lot of that drawn out instrumental stuff. And I really enjoy it. But what are your thoughts on I'm Your Captain?
Okay. One thing that you'll notice very quickly. This band knows how to rock. They are master musicians. They sound really good together. They blend really well together. From the guitar plucking in the opening to this, like, a second guitar comes in, and then you got the drums start up, the bass comes in, and the keyboard joins, and they all just pick up together, and then the singing. And I gotta say, Mark Farner has an excellent voice. He sounds beautiful, and it that all just sounds really, really good in the ears. For being a 10-minute song, this didn't feel like 10 minutes. It felt really quick. It felt a lot shorter. Until you get to the I'm Getting Closer to My Home, and that part starts to feel like it's, you know, half the song. It feels like it's longer than it is.
But well, it's a good 3 minutes of the song.
Is it? Okay, because yeah. I thought that it sounded like, well, maybe this is what, 1 or 2 minutes? No, it 3 minutes.
I think it was just shy of 3 minutes. Yeah, okay. And I think that's the biggest portion they cut off to the single.
Oh, I'm sure. You know, beautiful, beautiful music. This, I really liked listening to it. Okay, so the song Do You Feel Like I Do by Peter Frampton, that song drones on forever, and I hate that song. I mean, that song feels like 15 minutes. I think it is 15 minutes. This song, 10 minutes, it didn't feel like 10 minutes. It, you know, it was easy listening for me.
I assume you're talking about the live version of Do You Feel Like We Do? And
yeah,
that's where I'm going to differ with you because I love that song.
I know you love that song.
Yeah, it's a good song. I'm not a huge Peter Frampton fan, but I mean, Frampton Comes Alive is a great album. And anyways, we're on to Grand Funk tonight. But
yeah, and you know, it's easy on the ears, this one. What do you think about this one?
It should be pretty obvious what I think of this song is the reason I picked it, but I love the intro. It's something I learned how to play on guitar a long time ago. I tried to play it tonight, and apparently I didn't learn it very well.
It's not your fault.
But I can still play it.
Yeah, and you did fine.
Yeah, so anyways, I love the intro. It kicks into some really good bass and then into the tremolo on the guitar, and then the acoustic guitar kicks in. To me, it's got great drumming in it and great bass, because when that bass kicks in, it's a really good thick sound. I love the lyrics because I see imagery in the lyrics, not so much straightforward, but take me back now to the port of my birth. You had to make a comment on that, obviously.
Yeah.
But
so is this the port where he was born, or is this just where he docks his ship?
I'm assuming it can mean anything you want it to.
Yeah. Is it B-I or B-E?
That's what's so great about music is it really doesn't, who gives a damn what they were meaning when they wrote it? Because sometimes that takes away the magic when you learn, you know, when Mark Farner or whoever it may be, or whatever its song is, and they say, well, no, I wrote this when I was eating some eggs right after getting done drinking my orange juice or something like that. And you find out it has no meaning, where you've been listening to a song for years and years and you've already decided in your head what it means to you. And to me, that's almost more important. That's the one bad thing about, let's say, the internet and availability nowadays, is we can find out anything we want.
Oh yeah, infinite knowledge right at our fingertips.
Yeah, and there is some disadvantages of that, because I like putting my own thoughts into songs. I mean, there's songs I've listened to for years and years and I had the lyrics wrong and they meant something to me, and then I found out what the lyrics were and it's like, it kind of ruined it, you know?
Oh, that's always fun when you find out that the song, that the lyrics you thought they were all along, that sounds so poetic in your mind. Oh, wait, no, that's not what the lyrics were at all. And that's not nearly as poetic when you find out what it is.
Yeah, and that happens to me on a lot of songs. But, you know, when this song kicks into the part, Am I in My Cabin Dreaming? I love the drums. It's got some great drum fills in there, really fast, good drumming. It's nice. It goes to an echoey vocal, kicks over to that ocean sound, and then it kind of kicks into the next section where I'm getting closer to my home. The bass is really thick, the drums are really slow, and it, of course, goes over and over. The one thing they've added into this is strings and orchestration, and it fits perfect.
And seagulls.
Well, some of those, yeah, too. The seagulls. But it fits perfect. The drumming fills are perfect, the bass is perfect, and this song lacks really heavy guitar. One thing we're going to talk about too is because we also threw on the live version, which I tend to like better.
That live version really kicked butt.
Yeah, the orchestration fits this well for the recording. And of course, it's I'm Getting Closer to My Home over and over. I don't even know how many times, 30 or 40 or 50.
I did not bother to count.
And it goes to a fade out, which I don't mind. I don't generally like fade outs, but it's good on this song. But we had listened to the 1975 Caught in the Act live version, and I like the way the organ starts the intro on that. It's got heavier drumming and heavier bass, and it's got a pretty good guitar solo in the middle, and it's obviously stripped of the orchestration. But kind of going back to what I said earlier, Grand Funk to me is an amazing band as they are, and I love all their albums. No doubt about it, they are a much stronger band as a live band, and it's no doubt they were so successful filling arenas and touring, because they're a very strong band, and I find it very, very unfortunate that they've somewhat been forgotten to time.
That really is a shame, because with listening, it's kind of a beautiful thing, is when you have a band that's a really good band, they put out an album, the album sounds really good, but then they come and tour in the area, and you go and buy tickets to the concert, you end up at the concert live and hear them playing live, and they blow you away at how amazing they sound. I just think that's kind of the perfect formula that every band should be shooting for, is like, okay, you can buy our albums, you can play them, you know, listen to our songs over and over again, but until you come and hear us live, you're going to miss out on something, and you can only find it when you buy the ticket and hear us live.
Yeah, and that's what I like about Grand Funk, is because you don't have... Their live stuff is not a copy of their studio stuff. It's like a different version. And so you're getting the best of both worlds. I mean, if I was to pick, in most cases, I would pick their live stuff, but I don't want to miss out on their album, their studio music either. So just a great band, a band I've always loved. It's kind of unfortunate that they're not as well known anymore, but it's kind of nice to have that little hidden nugget that, and I'd like more people to enjoy them because they're an amazing band.
Yeah, I'd like more people to know the name Grand Funk Railroad, because I mean, it's a great name, first of all.
Yeah.
And you know, E Pluribus Funk, out of many funk.
Out of many. That.
It's
so
beautiful.
So do you want to get the song rating?
Oh, I had a devil of a time rating this.
Song rating.
Okay, if this is your first episode you've listened to, our rating system is pretty basic, 0 to 10. If it's a 0, it's garbage. If it's 10, it's a masterpiece, and I go out and buy the album or the song. And this one, oh, gee, I had a difficult time, because the music-wise, it's a 9 for me. The lyrics were a 2. I really didn't get the lyrics. I didn't like the way that straightforward or metaphorical, they didn't resonate within me. And this is coming from a guy that wears like a sailor's cap all the time. I really should have been all over this. So I met right in the middle and I rated it a 7. So where do you put this one?
Well, first of all, your math sucks, because a 9 and a 2, the middle is not 7.
Okay, so maybe I subtracted the 2 for the lyrics off of them. My math still sucks. You're right. But it's a beautiful song. I love it. It's a 7.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I don't think it's any surprise. First of all, this is one of my father's favorite songs.
Oh.
And it's definitely one of my favorite songs. I would probably put this in my top 20 favorite songs of all time. I've always loved the song. The music to it is the biggest portion of it. I'm not a huge lyric guy, and it can mean whatever you want it to, but I, without a doubt, rate this song a 10 out of a 10.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this Grand Funk is a band that I'm proud that I like, and not many people still do. And I know there's some Grand Funk lovers out there, without a doubt. They're still out there, but this music isn't, you know, getting as much praise as it should, and it's too bad.
So by all means, go out there, find, you know, listen to some Grand Funk Railroad. Let's give you the whole name, and you're going to enjoy it. You'll come back and thank us, and you'll say, wow, I didn't realize that these guys sang this song, and this song. Wow. I love these songs. You're going to love them.
Yeah, but let us know what you guys think of Grand Funk and this song in particular. We appreciate you listening to us. We know there's a lot of podcasts out there to listen to. So if you're listening to our uneducated opinions, then it does mean a lot to us. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, classicvinylpodcast@gmail.com. And until next time, we'll see you later.
See ya.
Thank you so much for listening to Classic Vinyl Podcast. And don't forget to subscribe on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at Classic Vinyl Podcast for updates, and also share us with your music-loving friends.